You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com.
And we welcome you back to Kessler Field, a shocked Kessler Field, where St. Francis leads Monmouth University 38-17 here at halftime. We're going to do a lot here at halftime, some first half statistics to look at, as well as the look at the Monmouth University athletic scene. Right now, we're going to take a look around the Northeast Conference scoreboard, and that's presented by Coke Zero. It's now time to take another look at these college football scores around the country with your Coca-Cola Zero scoreboard. Coke Zero, enjoy everything. And right now, obviously the game here at Kessler Field, 38-17, St. Francis. In Fairfield, Connecticut, Sacred Heart leads Robert Morris 10-6, 10 minutes to go, third quarter of that contest. Halftime in Pittsburgh. How about this score? Albany 30-35. I got you subs in my mouth. That's the problem right now. Happy sponsor. Albany 35, Duquesne 7. In New Britain, Central 17, Bryant 14. And one non-conference game to get you all caught up on. Wagner 7, Holy Cross 3. Those your scores around the Northeast Conference. We'll take a quick look around the top 25 nationally for giving you for some first half statistics. I have to scroll forward on the old phone. One score in the top 25 currently happening also in the state of New Jersey. Number 23, Rutgers and Army, all tied at 7, 12 minutes to go, third quarter there. In Ann Arbor, number 24, Northwestern and Michigan tied at 14, 14 minutes to go, third quarter. Number 8, South Carolina, 21. Arkansas, 10, a minute and 30 seconds before halftime. Texas Tech, number 22, is on top of Kansas, 21-14, minutes to go, second quarter there. Florida and Louisiana Lafayette, all tied at 3, 18 seconds to go before halftime there. Syracuse all over number 9, Louisville, 31-13 at halftime. Texas, 20. Iowa State, 7. A couple of games have yet to kick off. Oregon State at Stanford at 3 o'clock. Arizona State at USC also at 3. Baylor at Oklahoma at 3:30. Maryland at Clemson at 3:30. Penn State visits Lincoln, Nebraska. That game at 3:30. Texas A&M at number 1 Alabama at 3:30. Tonight, Kansas State visits TCU. Mississippi State at LSU. Georgia will visit Auburn at 7 p.m. Also at 7, Louisiana Tech will visit Texas State. Notre Dame will visit Boston College at 8 o'clock. Number 3, Oregon, will visit Cal at 10:30. And the last one at 10:30, UCLA will take on Washington State. That's your look around the country with the Coke Zero out-of-town scoreboard. We'll now step out, two-minute timeout. And then we'll take a look at first-half statistics as well as the other events happening on campus here at Monmouth University. Break right here on your home for Monmouth Athletics, the Shore Sports Network.
Follow Hawks football all season long on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com.
Back here at Kessler Field at halftime, honoring those members of the Monmouth University Student Veteran Group on the field right now, as I'm happy to be rejoined by my broadcast partner, Ed Sarluca, Mediacapinti. Monmouth Trail St. Francis, 38-17, as we'll take a quick look, and we don't want to do this too long because they're not pretty, at first half statistics in which the Red Flash had dominated Monmouth, outgaining them in total yards, 338-264. The biggest number right now is that John Kelly is 11 of 15 throwing the football for 204 yards and two scores.
Yeah, that's what's impressed me the most of that first half, you know. And the, I mean, let's face it, Monmouth, 264 yards, not a bad effort, you know, and they're on their way to a, you know, possibly 400 or 500-yard offensive display. But got to do something defensively. They've got to come up big. I mean, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, did they punt? Did the Red Flash punt? I don't think they did.
They did not.
So that tells you right there, zero for zero on the punts. And Monmouth only punted once, but it hasn't been turnovers. You know, it hasn't been, you know, the lack of offense. They have put 264 up, but defensively they've just got to make some big changes for this second half if they want a chance.
Kelly, who's the second leading rusher for this team, hasn't had to do it as much in the first half. Anthony Abide, 4 carries, 75 yards, including a long of 39. He has a touchdown. Keon Wade, who's been ejected for fighting, had 8 carries for 47 yards and a score. And A.J. Alexander, the dangerous player outside, 4 grabs, 102, and a score. And really, they've played well in all facets of the game, and they just seem to be faster and stronger and more aggressive, and that's why they're on top by 21 points.
And I think more into the game. Sometimes it's not who is the better team, it's who has come to play. And let's face it, what is it, 3-4 hour trip here?
That's on if you're flying.
If you're flying, okay, so 5 hours to get here, you know. They brought, you know, quite a few fans with them, you know. They're, you know, equal in attendance almost here, Monmouth and Red Flash fans. So, you know, Monmouth just got to sew it up a little bit defensively. That's what has impressed me. I haven't seen all the games, I will admit it. What I cannot get to here because of my high school schedule, and I listen to you guys all the time, you and Maddie, and, you know, I just don't get the feel that Monmouth is into this football game. Now, could it be they know they're out of the race? You know, they didn't play last week. They're disappointed there. They're disappointed in some of those close losses. And let's face it, Monmouth, if it weren't for a couple of points here and there, would be right in the thick of things.
That's a good point. Take a look at the Hawks' first half. Statistic leaders, Monmouth trails 38-17 here at halftime. Kyle Frazier, 14 of 22, throwing the football, 164 yards. KB Asante had 7 carries for 54 yards and a score. Frazier also contributed 23 yards on the ground. Julian Hayes only 5 carries for 21 yards. Tristan Roberts, 5 grabs for 76 yards. And really, two things that I look at is the lack of carries that Hayes has gotten, Ed, but also the fact that Neil Sterling, his name is not even on the sheet.
Exactly. That we remarked a couple of times that Roberts, the only one who really has been a key receiver for Frazier today. Sumline got that one down inside the 10-yard line for a big play there. They got the one touchdown. But you're right. I mean, Sterling's been non-existent, and he's out there every down.
Yeah, that's a good point. He was banged up early in the year, and now he's there, and he seems to be healthy, but hasn't really been able to get into the flow of these games as much as I think he would have liked. Joe Johnson, 5 tackles for Monmouth. Jake DeMetal, 6 stops for St. Francis. But, you know, you take a look at it, it was 7-0 Red Flash, then 7-7, and then from that point on, they didn't look back until Monmouth cut it to 31-14. And we knew they could run the ball, and they are, but they are making plays in the passing game. It's something you commented to me on in the first half. A lot of these plays, the passes are wide open, and the holes that they're running through up front are humongous.
Yeah, they've scored touchdowns today and had big gains virtually untouched by anybody on the defense of Monmouth. I mean, Abide's touchdown run right up the middle on a straight dive. Now, that's rare when you run a dive and go in untouched. You know, and that was 20-plus yards. I forget exactly what it was. And then some of the pass plays untouched. Now, are they picking on Joe Johnson? It seems like he's involved on the corner there. He's out on an island by himself. But most corners are always on an island by themselves. And, they seem to be picking on Joe. Remember, Joe's only a freshman. He's done a tremendous job. And coming off a pretty good game at Duquesne, right?
Played a great game 2 weeks ago at Duquesne. Again, we referenced it in pregame. He played 115 plays in that game, pretty much played every defensive snap, and then he played every special team snap as well. A week ago, I know he had 9 tackles, had a couple pass breakups, and that's the growing pains that will a true freshman corner, hard enough to be a true freshman playing anywhere, then add in a corner in this defensive system, not easy.
Yeah, I'm never going to say that a true freshman, does a poor job, because playing at this level, Division I football, you know, playing here, you know, As a true freshman, I give him credit just to be out there and to win a starting job, and he certainly has done a great job, and he will be a great football player for Monmouth in the next 3 years. But, you know, sometimes other people have to step up and, you know, and help out defensively, and not doing that today.
Take a look at some of the other events happening on campus. The fall season is officially resting with the football team now, because both soccer teams' years have been completed. The men's soccer team losing in the NEC semifinals yesterday to Fairleigh Dickinson. Field hockey losing in the NEC final again to Ryder a couple of weeks ago. And the next phase in the athletic calendar, and something you can hear right here on the Shore Sports Network, is basketball. Last night, the Monmouth men's team with a resounding 91-62 win over Hofstra to begin their season. The women's team gets things going, I want to say, tomorrow. And that you can obviously check with GoAmyHawks.com.
Yeah, I think it is tomorrow, if I remember reading the schedule correctly.
Checking my handy-dandy Monmouth app on the iPhone, which really is a huge help for us, especially when they're on the road as often as we are. Again, the men's team started last night defeating Hofstra. The women's team will begin things tomorrow. They visit University of Maryland, Baltimore County. That's a 2 p.m. contest down there. Again, keep it on GoMeHawks.com for the latest there. Huge home win last night to begin the basketball season, which is obviously great for momentum on campus. And the other thing that you have to like, and I'm a little, again, biased because I work at this fine university, but a great crowd last night. Students came out in full force, and I know well over 2,300 people attended the game, which is not only a great sign for opening night, but with everything that's happened around the area, it was great to get so many people in the community out at a game and get their mind off some things for a while.
Well said, Ed. And again, we can't say enough about the recovery efforts that have gone on down here. I know Monmouth themselves, Eddie, and you could expound on this, themselves a rescue area, right?
Yeah, Monmouth University was actually the largest state evacuee area in New Jersey. It was not just Monmouth County residents either. People from all over the state were bused in here. That's one of the reasons, and we referenced it in the first half, why the game last week couldn't be played. Not only were students off campus for safety, but Boylan Gym and the MAC were it was a resting spot for people who needed shelter, whose homes were gone. And that, again, that was run by the state of New Jersey and by FEMA. And it was not an area and a campus that was fit for a football game. And all the resources that Monmouth had went to helping those in need, and rightfully decided upon by the administration that a football game shouldn't have been played, and the right call was made.
Exactly. And I know in my two districts that I'm closely associated with, Brick, where I live, many of the schools there are used as shelters, the intermediate schools. And then, of course, where I worked for, taught for and coached for 32 years in Toms River, all of those high schools, I shouldn't say all, but Toms River North, the Pine Belt Arena, and Toms River East, all used for shelters, the intermediate school used. You know, it got to the point where they had well over 1,000 people come through there and staying there, and eventually had to, you know, start shipping them around the area. I know some of them went up here to Monmouth race track and set up tents outside, and then have since moved inside because of the cold weather that have hit. So all of the area schools, and I'm sure there are many other high schools that were used as shelters in their specific locations, and just a tremendous effort by, you know, the Red Cross and all the people involved. You know, they were getting donations of food and clothes to the point where they had to stop,
right?
Because they had too much, you know, and that's, you know, you can't say enough about that effort.
And
but anyway, what do we have to do here in the second half? What about the effort here that, you know, the